Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan. Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, and the return of Ailish Forfar. How you feeling, Ailish? You hanging in
good.
There?
Good. Cruising halfway along. Done. Invigorated by the trade deadline.
Yes. And all that sunlight you're getting. I got to rearrange my apartment to
love
be
it.
Facing whatever direction you're facing. It's great. It's the NHL trade deadline. Going to be a chaotic day. A bit of a chaotic Sunday yesterday as well. To help us sort through it, this Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Sportsnet NHL Insider and co-host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Elliot Friedman. Elliot, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? Ailish, good to have you back, classing up the joint all the time.
Thank you. I know. Someone's got to do it, right?
That's right.
Classing up the joint. You should see the text thread. It's not certainly not going in that direction, Elliot. It's unbelievable.
Well, as you know, it's like all of social media. We outward we present ourselves as great people. Inward we're all jerks. We all know that. Yep. Like that's just the way it goes.
So, Elliot, how does it work today for you in the studio where there are like 13 different tables that you have to broadcast from? Do you wear gym shoes so you can run around table to table, hit for hit?
No, you know what? I sit in the same spot. They just move us around. Like they go from table to table. I think PJ Stock has like a restraining order against me, so I'm not allowed within like 50 feet of him anyway. But no, generally we stay in the same spot, and they just move from desk to desk. Actually, this is probably on the watch. You probably get the time stand notices more today than any other day because you're just sitting there and doing call after call after text after text.
So, Elliot, the Toronto Maple Leafs do what we anticipate is their heavy lifting on Sunday, acquiring Mark Giordano and Cole Blackwell from the Seattle Kraken for 2 seconds and a third. They also send Travis Dermoteau for a third and another deal. How long had that Giordano deal been in the works? Is this something that nudged along further as other names like Hampus Lindholm came off the market, or was this always a possibility and it just came together a day early?
I think it was always a possibility they were going to get Giordano. I think they really liked Lindholm. I think he was their number one target, but I just don't think they were going to do what Boston did. I don't think they were going to be able to give away that many to move that many picks. I also don't know if they were going to be able to do that extension. Probably not. So I just think it was a situation where they weren't going to get to Blake. I think that they really liked Giordano. I think they knew Giordano really wanted to come here. They were definitely looking for a forward who fit Blackwell's mold and could do the kinds of things he did. One of the things I know that they really passionately felt was that they did not want to trade a first rounder for a rental. And, I think Seattle really wanted to see if they could get a first rounder. And when it appeared as if they probably weren't going to be able to do that, that's when I think things started to fall more into that way. I'm curious to see what today will bring. Dermot, that one was heading in that direction for some time. The Leafs have had him out in the market for a long time. And as he'd been out of the lineup before returning against Nashville, one of the things I heard last week, that one way or another, Dermot was going to go somewhere else. Like even if they did nothing else, which I didn't think was going to be the case, he was going to go somewhere else. And, Vancouver's a team that really wants to see him, and so I'm not surprised he ended up out there.
So I just want to stick with the Lindholm thing for a second because it is a curiosity for me about,
JD?
Hey, how do we – pardon me?
That's it, okay, JD?
Yeah, sorry, I got told mute, but usually that means I'm muted in my headphones, not on the actual Zoom. So I just
sorry, I was trying to show Ailish my new power.
So, yeah. So
we can mute JD at any time. It's nice.
Yeah, listen, if you could, then you probably would do it more often. If Lindholm ends up staying, or you end up trading for Lindholm. You don't want to trade a first-round pick. I don't understand how those two things align because, hey, you would have had to have traded something of quite of obvious significance for the best defenseman on the market. So what were they offering then for Lindholm? Do you have any idea what the Leafs wanted to move out? Because if it wasn't a first, it would have been it would have had to have been somebody pretty high up on the prospect pile.
You know, I think you're kind of overthinking that. I think he was their number one guy, and I think if there was anything they might have budged on, it was going to be that him. But I just think when they, I think as things got closer, I think they realized it was unlikely. They weren't going to say it wasn't going to happen until he was gone somewhere else, which is exactly what occurred. I just think – I don't think they were going to do what Boston did, JD. I just don't think that was in their radar. Like, if you take a look at what happened with Chicago, they weren't willing to give up a first and Nyes for players – for at least one guy who had term. And so, you know, they just – it's just not something that's in their wheelhouse right now. They weren't willing to do that.
Yeah, and which makes sense.
But you wait to see – okay, is there any chance that, you know, Anaheim gets desperate or the price of poker pulls people away from the table? I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen. I don't even think they thought it was going to happen. But you wait to make sure.
Yeah, I guess so. The debate I keep having with other Leaf fans is I never really thought that Toronto was going to be aggressive at this deadline because it didn't really make sense for them to be, considering they don't know what's going to happen in net. They wanted to add blue line depth. They wanted to add a forward. They do a trade that accomplishes two of those things, and they have a signing that addresses the goaltending depth. So it's actually been kind of nice business for Dubas so far this deadline, especially since they held firm on not giving up that first-round pick. But people keep coming back to me with this. They go, JD, how can you afford to get to the first round? Hey, JD, what happens if they lose in the first round? And it feels to me like the beginning of the year, there was all of this talk about the last dance, right? That's how this Leaf season was branded. This is the last dance. This is Kyle Dubas's last shot. How could you ever let Dubas and Shanahan have another chance with this roster if you don't get out of the first round? But I don't know if it's a me personal feeling or if it's just a hockey in general feeling, but it doesn't feel that desperate with this team anymore, even though you only have two more seasons of Auston Matthews guaranteed beyond this point. Do you get the sense like that part of this lack of aggression when it comes to giving up picks and being willing to pay some of these prices is that this front office feels secure in the idea that regardless of the outcome of the postseason, they will still be employed going into next year?
No, I don't believe that. I don't think that. I think they're aware that if the team loses in the first round, there could be changes. I just don't think that. There's a couple of parts to pick off about your answer there, because last week, as the leaks were in the dam, and there were a lot of them, they were all happening at the same time. I did wonder about that.
If you took a look at it, there were some teams in the West that were kind of saying, you know, this is not our year, and we're not going for it, and we'll just take our chances. And I kind of wonder if Toronto was going to be the same way. Would they, maybe pull the chute and not go for some things because they'd look at it and say, this isn't our year. And the reaction I kind of got to that was, we're like seventh in the NHL. And when they won last Tuesday over Dallas, they were tied for fifth in the NHL. And they thought that, my kind of hypothesis on that was ridiculous. Now, I think I have the same questions about the Maple Leafs that everybody else does, but I think they look at the big package from the beginning.
Oh, we lost Elliot. You're there. Oh, sorry. No, we're just getting your phone line getting a little sketchy here, Elliot. Hold on.
No worries.
We're just going to try to reconnect with you because we lost you for a second, and then it sounded like you went into a wind tunnel, and I really want to hear what this this is a really important answer, okay? I think every Leaf fan is, hanging on. They're going, what's Elliot saying here? Because we kind of need to know what the future of the front office might be. But no, this is – again, this bad deadline moves get made historically through all sports based on the pressure on a front office, right? If you feel like your job is on the line and you need to get out of a first-round playoff series or go deep in a postseason, you're going to be more aggressive with the picks that you give away. And so I think that the Dubas-Shanahan question is just, you know, maybe the most important one if it comes to Leaf fans, because it dictates the level of aggression that you're going to be willing to do and the possibility of bad trades getting done. Elliot joins us again. Sorry, Elliot. So, yeah, you were just answering us about the pressure on the front office and the possibility of them losing jobs if they don't get out of the first round this year or beyond.
Well, I think, JD, they all recognize that's possible. I think they do. I think we all know what the potential consequences here are if they lose in the first round. But I don't think that'll necessarily dictate what they're going to do. I know that we like to project our feelings onto other people, that we would all say, well, if I know I'm going to get fired from a job, then I'm going to make crazy trades to save my job. Yeah, some people would, but some people won't. I don't think Dubas is going to do that. I don't get that vibe from him. I don't think that, like, for example, for him, if I was 36 years old and I thought that even if I got fired from this job this year, I think I probably would get another chance. And do you want like a resume killing trade on there that everybody remembers because you thought you were panicking and you were going to lose your job? I don't think he thinks that way. And so I think also I kind of asked around about this, thought that maybe when everything was falling apart last week, that they might consider themselves a situation where they give up and say, this isn't our year. But I think they look at it like when they beat Dallas the other night, they were fifth in the league. And I think they feel they're going to sort some of these things out. They want to bolster their group, which they have. I think some of the biggest questions that they still have to answer is, what is Muzzin's health? Well, that appears to be tracking a bit better. But now Kasha, after what happened with him the other night. So I do wonder, do they go out and get another forward, depending on health, like an Andrew Cogliano type? But I don't see him, I just don't see him saying, oh my God, I got to save my job. I better make a big deal that mortgages the future. That's not what I've been hearing. It's absolutely against what I've been hearing. I think the Lindholm non-trade is an example that appears to be their path. And, you know, I just think he looks at it like, If I get wiped out, I'm not going to get wiped out and then make a trade that in 5 years, everybody looks back and says, that's one of the worst trades ever made. I just don't see him thinking like that.
Well, yeah, like you just outlined the case of part of it is selfishness, but it is also commendable to show that level of restraint if you do think that.
I think you're taking me way out of context there. It's not selfishness. It's just that I think that, like, it's not like I don't think that's right. I think people have a philosophy about the way they do things. And I just don't think he's wired for incredible self-preservation in that way. I think some people are. I don't think he is.
Yeah, selfishness is probably the wrong word then. What I'm looking for is that there's part of it that is also him, right? That it's not purely out of, hey, this is just like, there's an element where it's good for Kyle Dubas later on in his life to make good moves, right? And not to just, he doesn't have the same level of desperation as an older general manager or someone longer in the tooth. He's got a long career ahead of him. But I was going to say that it is commendable to look at it that way and say, hey, I'm going to do what I think is best for the franchise rather than what I'm going to do what's best for the immediacy of this win. But it just kind of gets back to the same thing, though, too, where part of this has been the market has been so crazy in terms of the prices. The depth of field is so intense in the Atlantic Division now with what Boston has done, what Florida has done, what Tampa Bay continues to do, that that's why it feels so hard for me to understand what the pressure on the front office is moving forward. Because for a lot of us, if you're looking at this through a bit of a rational lens, you would go, well, how are you supposed to expect them to necessarily beat Tampa Bay in a first round when that team's won two consecutive cups and pushing in every asset that they have? Like, I guess you're supposed to win, and so to win, you need to beat the best teams. But just, yeah, the idea that you would be fired for losing this one, it's very, very strange in terms of the timing.
Why?
Well, I just think that it's tough. Like, that you don't think that this year has been even, like, maybe their most difficult one in terms of being able to get out of here?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a huge challenge. They're in a really tough division. I mean, last year was kind of really a screwed up year. There's no question about it. I mean, if there was a year that was most disappointing, it was last year. But I don't know. Maybe I always look at it like it's tough to win in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just see things a little bit differently. I look at a lot of these divisions. I think Florida's really good. I think Tampa's really good. I think anyone that they're going to play in the playoffs is going to be really good. But I don't know if I see this being any harder than the Central or anything like that. I don't know. Maybe I just look at it differently. I think it's a huge challenge to win. But also, I just think it's a huge challenge because of some of the things that they've gone through in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I just think I look at the goalie situation. Unless you know that Fleury's going to drop on your lap, okay, and I'm not convinced that that was going to happen here, then I just don't know if there's anything out there that really solves your problem and the price you're going to have to pay for it.
Because we were talking about maybe potential moves that could help today. And I guess our question is if you think the Leafs are done or if there is something that they could do to help, you know, add to their forward lineup, if anything. I think we can agree that maybe a goaltender is out of the question at this point. But do you think that maybe they could be adding a forward today? Obviously, maybe like a bottom six if it fits with their cap, if there's any names that's been floated around, or if you think that they're going to stand by what they've done so far and keep that confidence in what they have acquired.
I think they're, you know, Alex, I think they're going to look around. I'm not expecting famous last words. I'm not expecting anything enormous. I could always be wrong, but I could always be wrong, but I'm not expecting anything enormous. Like I said, I mentioned Cogliano before. You know, he's available. He's rather inexpensive. He's a Toronto guy. I'm sure he'd love it. It's just like Giordano. I'm sure he and his family would love it if he could play here. I think it comes down to what they think the health of someone like Kasha is. You know, that he would be a huge loss. He's played very well for them. He's made other people better, and he's been injured before. I don't think they have a clear picture yet of where he is, but I'm curious. I mean, I just wonder if they're looking at it and they're going to say they're going to need a player like that. That's kind of what I'm wondering about today.
What about the rest of the NHL at large today? Like, is there going to be a little bit more action? We spoke with Frank Saravelli earlier today, and he mentioned how the prices of the of these trades so far have maybe added a little bit of extra motivation for some of these teams to sell, and that maybe more names are going to start to emerge as the day goes on based on those price points. Do you see an aggressive day today, or have we seen the vast majority of the action go down in your opinion?
No, I think there's still more to come, JD. I think I'm waiting on the Rangers. I'm waiting for one more from Colorado. I'm waiting for LA. I think Boston's going to look at forwards. Winnipeg, I think, is going to move people. I think Vancouver will try to move people. I still think, you know, Chychrun, you know, the other day I heard it was quiet, and then someone told me they heard last night Arizona was really trying to get something done there. I still think, and I always think, you know, the other thing too, Jay, is there's always things happening that, you know, we don't know, that we're not aware of until later, and there's always those kinds of things going on. So I think there's still the potential for, I don't know if I would say a lot, but some bigger ones.
Elliot, one thing that you and I have discussed, and I know you've talked about it on the panel before, and people could check you out there, Hockey Central trade deadline all day today, starting at 10 a.m. on Sportsnet. Have you got a sense that we're any closer to that NBA-style buyout market that we talked about just a little bit? Guys who don't get dealt today, maybe working out some other way to get free?
Well, I haven't heard a lot about it, Blake. You know, people have reminded me it's happened before, but not with as big, like Zach Bogosian did it a couple years ago and ended up winning a Stanley Cup in Tampa. but never with as big a cap hit as Subban has, even though his cash remaining isn't as high. I think the tough thing about that, Blake, is if you're not on a roster at 3 o'clock today, Eastern, then you can't play in the playoffs. So could it happen where maybe someone does that to help late in the rest of the season? It's not unheard of, but if you're not on someone's roster today at 3, you're not eligible for the playoffs, and the last possible day on waivers to do that was yesterday. So don't think so, unfortunately.
Damn, that would have been a nice little
wrinkle. I wanted the chaos.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time this morning, Elliot. Looking forward to all your coverage starting at 10, Hockey Central trade deadline on Sportsnet. Kill it today, man. Have fun.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider. You can see, again, from 10 a.m. on today on Sportsnet, Hockey Central trade deadline. Also co-host of the 32 Thoughts, the podcast. And that insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
So where do you guys weigh in on that?
Yeah.
Like, where do you weigh in on the Dubas, like, job security element of this? Because I'm torn on it in the sense of there are things that are happening right now. Like, he deserves blame for where the goaltenders are at, right? Like, Mrazek was a disaster. And ultimately, Jack Campbell was a good gamble to bring into the season. I've already said that. It was time to move on for Freddie Anderson. Like, I'm a Freddie guy. I liked him, but bringing him back with Jack Campbell was not an idea that was going to work. There's been some good signings. There's been some Nick Ritchie signings. Like, the season has been one that's tougher to evaluate. But what I think is pretty clear is that the idea of not trading Mitch Marner, when a lot of us, including myself, were like, no, you might have to move off of this player after that choke job, that has been, I would say, the biggest win of his offseason. Like, aside from the Kasha thing or the bunting idea, like, the real win for Dubas was doubling down on Mitch Marner and not getting hot-headed about it and shopping him around the NHL. He's clearly one of the league's best players. If they roll into the postseason and those guys look great, but you lose to a Tampa Bay, I know Elliot's right. It's hard to win, and that's where I'm torn. I go, well, yeah, you're supposed to be world champions now. This is where you are in the developmental track. But how do you just feel about the pressure on them right now, or whether or not Dubas is the guy for the job if they lose this year in the Atlantic?
I think if they lose this year in the Atlantic, the conversation will be about holding on to that first round draft pick when all the other Atlantic teams got rid of their first round pick. And I think that will be the thing that we stick on is the, okay, you know what? Dubas went in saying, I'm not going to trade a first rounder. They didn't. But let's say they hypothetically lose. Is that going to be a thing we come back to being like, you were stubborn about this thing and it could have helped with a goalie or it could have helped with another top six forward? I think that will be the conversation we'll have. In terms of Dubas and the conversation about what happens next with his, you know, his contract, I definitely agreed with Elliot saying that he's the type of guy that is thinking about his legacy and not to do something just to do something. And I think we were praising him earlier in the show about that because he could have easily been bounced by the ideas of everything happening yesterday and panicked, but it seemed like he took the composure to wait it out and it worked so far with the price that he got for Gio. But I do think that the conversation, if the Leafs get bounced in the first round, might be about that first round draft pick that they held close to their hearts and maybe missed a part of their window that they had hoped.
I might feel differently based on how they perform in the postseason. But as of right now, I think Dubas has had a good year, like a really good year.
Listed like three or four people. You're like, well, aside from this contract, this one was good. This one was good. Like, there's at least three big wins.
So the Ritchie one was clearly bad where you go, right. This felt a little bit panicky. But they took a shot at a power forward that they've been wanting for a while. It was somebody who it went about as bad as it could have possibly have gone, right? Nick Ritchie's still going to play in the NHL. But realistically, how bad was the Ritchie deal? It was a year too long and maybe what? Less than $1 million too much? Like, sure. It's bad, but we hyper-emphasize how bad these deals are for a Leafs team that has the cap issues that they have, right? Nick Ritchie making $2.5 million on the average hockey team does not get blown into the proportion that it does in Toronto. The Mrazek one turns out to be the worst of the deals. The way that they misevaluated the goaltender market, especially given what other goalies got to be backups in other places, is a pretty big swing and a miss. Especially if you consider how some of the Mrazek signing at least appears to be a leverage point of negotiation with Jack Campbell, where they looked at it and said, Jack, you know, you kind of got to play ball. And this is not a reporting. This is me guessing, but it seems that way. Hey, Jack, you better play ball from a contract standpoint and from a term standpoint as well, because we've already invested this into our goaltending future. And if you want to be here, it's got to fit in with the salary cap parameter of what we can spend on a goaltender. So that has backfired. And maybe it's even backfired in terms of how good Jack feels about his job tenure, all these different things, as he's kind of had a bit of a collapse since January. So the goaltending thing he owns 100%. And so if you feel like that has been bad enough to want someone different taking care of the franchise moving forward, I understand it. But I would just counter it by saying Kep Marner, signed Bunting, signed Kasha, signed Kampf, has had a very good deadline. Like, from the standpoint of not overreacting, going out and getting a position, two positions of need, right? Ailish, you said it. Blackwell's a player too. So they went out and got a forward and a defenseman, fit them under their cap situation for not using first-round picks, still have all the major assets in the cupboard, and now go into an offseason where you just have to ask yourself, if they lose, who do you want doing the heavy lifting that's going to have to happen in the offseason? Do you still want it to be Kyle Dubas, or do you really feel like they can't get it done? And after this year and where they're at right now, as of today, my opinion can change, okay? So I know some people think that you never can, but maybe they lose in horrific fashion. I go, you got to fire Dubas. As of today, I feel like Dubas has done a good job this year. And I feel like he has done the job to the point where I would say, if you lose to Tampa Bay in a 6 or 7 game series, I'm going to look at it very differently from how you would lose in a normal year to a team like Boston.
Okay, so I totally agree. And I think there's a different perspective that I haven't really spent much time thinking about, and that's what is Brendan Shanahan's future. You know, he's been the president for 8 years of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he's had the Shanahan plan, but we also kind of just put a lot of it on Dubas. But I do agree they're tied together. Is it a complete overhaul? Is it something that you can point fingers at one or the other? I think it's just something interesting to consider, because we say a lot of Dubas, but there is a lot of underlying reason for this that has to do, obviously, with Shanahan and his last 8 years with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if they still can't progress past the first round and have something to show for, I think it's a two-way street with those guys.
I would need to know who the replacement is. You know, like, hey, who do you feel, like, truly, who do you feel would be a better steward of the final 2 years of Austin Matthews being under contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs? That's just that's the other part of it, right? If there is someone that's out there that is going to be better, then great. But I see that there are still a lot of front offices that I don't look at and go, wow, that's a great front office, right? Like, it's not like these guys are that it's such a surplus of great front office people that you fire Kyle Dubas and there's a million people out there. Anyway, I'm just saying I'm a little torn on it. I don't feel like it's as black and white. Had you asked me in the off season, before the season started, is this the final year for Kyle Dubas if he doesn't get out of the first round? I would have said unequivocally yes. No matter what, yes. He is fired. The second they lose in the first round, Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan pack all your stuff up and leave the city of Toronto and never return. And now I'm kind of looking at it a little differently, where I just say, I don't know. I do not know. And that's not the best take, but I don't feel as though it's as final stand or last dancey as I did heading into the year. I just don't.
JD, sometimes saying you don't know is the right take. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to just not know. And it is one of those situations. In terms of, hey, could someone come in and do a better job? The other thing, too, is we don't – like, there's no comparable situation. Like, what GM out there not only is a good GM, but can you say is like, oh, they've dealt with this extremely top-heavy cap structure and done it successfully. It's like, who? Brisebois? Sure. They love the LTIR. We already know how to do that here. So I'm not saying you never look at a replacement, because obviously there are a lot of people out there who have never gotten a shot and things like that. But yeah, I think the no first round pick for a rental thing suggests that they're still taking a life of Austin Matthews contract window approach to how they're building this thing out. Let's take a break. Ailish, you've had 3 weeks off from making picks. I hope you're ready.
I'm on a three-week winning streak.
No, you're on a three-week.
No, you're no losing.
Three-week undefeated streak.
That's right. That's what I meant.
Yeah. You have zero wins in that time as well.
Yeah. If you were on a three-week winning streak, you might not have returned. You might still be on hiatus. You'd be on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, if only. So let's take a break, and let's have Ailish's return to the Waking Rake. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan. The code word for today's episode to text to 590-590 to qualify for your shot to win Leafs-Panthers tickets on March 27th is Barkov.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan, Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. Usually such great music picks on the way into the Wake and Rake from our tech, Vic. Oh, we got
I don't know how many times I have to fire Vic before it sticks, but he's fired again. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
What we're learning here is you have no power whatsoever.
Another firing of Vic. Yeah,
a little Pink Floyd money.
You have
my dad's
no
loving
power
it, I know
here.
That.
Well, we just got to jump in a little later. Speaking of money... Wake and Rake lost some on Friday. Pretty strong week overall last week, but the NCAA was not kind on Friday. JD, I know it wasn't kind to you at all this weekend. All three of us still with our March Madness winner intact, but barely. Last night. Arizona just snaking through. Ailish, did you dabble at all while you were off?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh.
I had Kentucky in the final of the entire tournament. So I've had a tough go so far.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm doing well in the women's bracket, let me tell you. I'm crushing.
Me too. I'm like 99th percentile on ESPN.
Thanks
but
for the invite.
It's been
to
a tough one.
Women's bracket one you guys did without me. That's cool. No, not her.
We're not in the same bracket.
Oh, it's okay. That's cool.
I'm fine. With all my gal pals.
All right. They couldn't get invited to either one then, too. That's even worse. I didn't get invited to two different March Madness pools. So,
well, I got invited to this one, and it's with some corporate friends. And they're like, don't invite JD. Whatever you do, don't invite JD. His picks will be too good.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
No. So,
is that what you want to hear?
Well, no. Here's what I was going to say is I kind of took a bit of a break from social media this weekend, but I got a lot of messages from people going like, hey, share your picks. Because last year during March Madness, I was on an unbelievable run. I made more money last year on March Madness than any other point in my life. And so I had a lot of people reaching out going, JD, where's the picks? And I went, you know what? You are welcome. What does OJ say? Twitter world? Yeah, like, you are welcome, Twitter world. You are welcome, Instagram world, that I did not share my picks this weekend because it was a bloodbath for me. Mm-hmm. I got murdered in every way. I was basically the death of Caesar where everybody's stabbing me, right? Like, it's just, you know, a tu brute. Even the teams that I had trusted all year long, like Wisconsin, stabbed last night. It was the Red Wedding. It was the Red Wedding of sports gambling for me this weekend. I got eviscerated. I lost so much money that at one point so I'm supposed to go visit my brother next weekend. I lost so much money that I texted him and went, I'm not sure I can afford to come anymore, man. Like, this might be off the table given, like, I'm going to have a profitable day. And yesterday, the same thing. So I was incredibly profitable the first day of the tournament. Thursday, I was hitting everything. And I went, old JD's back. Old tournament JD is here to stay. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, shank, mm-hmm. shank after shank. Couldn't hit a damn thing. It actually, you guys ever have it where you're picking so badly that you just go, whatever I think I should do the opposite.
The opposite, yes.
That's where I was at.
Go with the opposite of your gut.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's called the Costanza strategy. Is what that is. I don't recommend it because here's the thing: if you're bad at picking right, you're also going to be bad at trying to pick wrong and go against your gut. So it's a tough one. You get tripped up in your head. But all that said, let's try to get back on the right foot here. We got a lot tonight. We got 9 NBA games. 8 games in the women's bracket, 4 NHL games, and of course, spring training baseball. If you want to get real gritty with it, the Jays starting Alek Manoah, Bo Bichette, Vlad, Kirk, and Espinal today at
God,
even money.
I want to watch that. I want to watch that. Like, I can't believe how much I'm into watching the Blue Jays in spring. Blake, normally,
how can you not be?
I know, but that's what's crazy is normally I watch the Blue Jays' first spring training game and I go, okay, call me when the season starts. There's 162 of these suckers. I'm not going to watch useless home runs. And here I am at home watching Aurelvis Martinez bombs going, let's go, Aurelvis. Matt Chapman hits a bomb. Let's go, Matt Chapman. Vlad Jr.'s losing weight and still smoking bombs like absolute piss missiles in spring training. And I'm like, I'm so excited for spring training games that are meaningless. And, of course, I'm listening to Blake Murphy set it all up on the Blue Jays pregame shows. Let's go, Blue Jays!
So if you did want to watch that, that game today, Toronto and the Tigers, is at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet 1 or Sportsnet Now. You could also listen to Ben Wagner's call at sportsnet.ca or on the Sportsnet app. You could do a little dual screen thing with our trade deadline, Trade Central, on TV as well, starting at 10 a.m. I will say, there's nothing better as second screen viewing than spring training baseball because you get all the sounds of baseball. You get the nice sunny day on your screen. And then, let's be honest, you can tune in for the Vlad and Bo at-bats. And if you happen to miss, I don't know, Lucas at the plate or Capra at the plate, you're not sweating it too much. No disrespect to the Malik Smiths of the world, but you could just watch those first four or five. Oh, Aurelvis Martinez playing today, too. Ooh. It's going to be all sorts of good at-bats. I'm not going to touch that one as much as them starting that many of the real guys and Alec Manoa. I just – if I lose a spring training baseball bet, I'm going to feel so bad about myself.
No, but here's the thing. This is why it's just a – this is a classic low
– We lost JD there for a second, so we'll continue on here. Eilish, I laid it out. It's a huge slate tonight. We got – 21 games across NBA, women's basketball, and NHL, plus spring training baseball. Is there anything that stands out to you for the Wake and Rake?
Okay, so...
That is... Yeah.
No, it's good. I went on a...
You were muted as well, Ayla.
I think that you just can't hear us, Blake.
No, Blake has a problem with his
stuff. I can definitely hear everybody.
Fine. Everybody's fine. It's all
just
Blake.
Just mute Blake.
You know, Blake. Yeah, Blake. We've muted Blake. Yeah. Listen, Blake, you know what? Blake just like gaslighting us into thinking our equipment is
He's so, like, oh, JD.
JD, it's all your fault. Eilish, it's all you too. So, yeah, Eilish, you can go. Like, do you want the honorary going first?
Yeah,
upon
sure.
Return?
So,
how are you feeling?
Okay, a little bit of pressure I'm feeling because it's been a while since I made a pick, and I heard you guys were doing really well on the Wake and Rake, so big shoes to fill here. But I'm going to stick with some NHL games because there's only four to choose from tonight. A lot of heavy favorites, though, but I'm feeling like the Bruins over the Canadiens in regulation. I feel really good about that. It's minus 145. I just think the Bruins, they just got, you know, a better trade deadline as well. They're feeling good. The Canadiens, you know, haven't been the greatest this season, a little bit up and down. I want something that I feel confident with. And I said I was going to stay away from in regulation wins as of the last couple of weeks. It's always biting you a bit, but I feel good about that one. The only other one that stuck out to me was actually in the NBA, but I got to ask Blake for a little bit of roster information. But our Cavs, minus 5.5 over the Lakers, but I don't know the injury status, and I see Blake with a little bit of a grimace on his face. So I will stick with the Bruins, but I am curious about the Cavs.
It's a little bit of a tough one with the Cavs just because they've been without Jared Allen recently, and that has resulted in a dip in performance. LeBron's also questionable, and LeBron's played most of these games when he's been questionable, but not every single one. So it's just a little hard to suss out exactly what to make of that one. No Jared Allen is a worry. Obviously, if LeBron doesn't play, you bang that Cavs line all day.
For sure. So maybe one that we wait a little bit later in the day. I won't put it in the Wake and Rake because we don't know for sure, but just something to ponder later in the day.
So this applies to tomorrow as well, but do you guys have theories about the deadline in terms of how you bet the NHL trade deadline? Like, Eilish, for me, when I look at that Bruins line, for example, I think – okay, well, wouldn't the Bruins be really excited for this game because they just got Lindholm and their team went in and they traded picks? Or, and I've heard this theory from friends before, that the teams that get stuff at the deadline, they don't have that moment because they start to think about the playoffs. And so they're thinking ahead. they're thinking ahead, and now all of a sudden the regular season doesn't matter as much. And so I'm just saying, like, there's multiple theories out there, okay? There's not one theory. I look at right now, for example, tonight, there's a Vegas game against the Wild. Both those teams are waiting to see what they end up doing. Maybe pieces get removed from the roster, so I'm not as comfortable betting those teams, right? Like, maybe because Vegas is so capped out, you got to figure something leaves to go in, blah, 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 blah. Oilers, Colorado. Colorado's are, like, I don't imagine them doing anything more after the Manson trade. Maybe Edmonton still has something to mix. Maybe something comes off for them. Ducks could be sellers. Maybe they're selling off a piece. I think it's too early to bet these teams.
Ducks but are just definitely overall, sellers.
But yeah, oh yeah. But I'm just saying maybe they sell even more.
Yeah,
but
like the Gibson trade that we were talking about earlier, that could happen.
Right, but do you guys have any theory in terms of like deadline stuff of ways to bet deadlines? Do you lean one way or the other?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's a keep an eye on the roster situation. Like that Anaheim one is the only one where it's a big flag, because not only do I like the Predators in general in that one, but if those John Gibson rumblings are accurate, it's hard to see him starting tonight, which would mean Anthony Stolarz is in net, which is, you know, a 3-5% bump in the win probability there over John Gibson. So obviously the deadline's at 3, you'd know by puck drop. But if Gibson's outbound, then you got to switch. That's kind of a jump on the line early thing, because if Gibson doesn't go by 3, maybe the line comes back a little bit.
So my theory here is that you definitely bet Nashville, because Nashville is buying and probably acquires something today. Maybe they don't. Well, actually, again, the theory could go the other way. If Nashville does nothing, then maybe those guys are sour and then they're all poly pissy pants about it and they don't
go out.
Clearly,
we just don't know anything. It can go either way.
No, but the feeling I would get from Anaheim is that all those guys, some of them, guess what they like? They like playing in Anaheim, okay? Mm-hmm. They like being in California. They like the flops to the rink. They don't want to be traded today. They don't want to. Some of them, hey, if they can go on a Stanley Cup run, awesome. But some of those dudes, they have their families there. It's a big day, right? What happens when there's a big stress release? You want to relax. You want to take a nap. You want to just, you know, veg out a little bit. If I'm the Ducks and the players that remain on that team after today, first of all, they've lost a bunch of dudes. So being only slight underdogs doesn't really make sense to me, considering that they just lost Manson and Lindholm and that they could end up losing more. But my natural gut instinct is to think that everybody just takes a little bit of a press off the pedal a bit and everyone relaxes. Everybody's chill vibes in California, that they're staying in Cali, and that they get smoked in this game against the team that's still trying to win games. Are you with me?
No. I'm with like you just laid out four
that was such
different
a harsh
directions.
Silence from Ailish, and then yeah, that's how my crazy brain works. I need to be able to talk it out.
Okay,
and work
but
it out.
These things go in different directions. So I would say there's no statistical significance when you're like, well, it could be this or this
know.
Or this.
I don't know. I think this is what I'm saying. I'm not making it my official wake and rake pick. I have a different one. But here's what I'm saying. If the Predators add anything today, like anything, a fourth line forward, I'm betting the house on them to crush this game, that they are going to go out and murder a team that is basically just trying to get through today. All those Ducks guys, they're not getting through their pregame nap, Ailish. They're not doing their normal routines. They're scrolling their phones wondering if they have to sell their house, right? They're wondering, oh boy, where could I be going? Where's my kid going to go to school? Blah, blah, blah. That's in your goalie's head, the potential that John Gibson could be traded today. The goalie's thinking about it. I'm riding.
Okay, well, then that
tonight.
Applies to my Bruins pick, because the Canadians could be in the same boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Canadians have any good players left to trade?
I was going to say, don't. Do they have anybody left? Like Jeff Petrie and his $10 billion contract going to get moved today?
So, JD, what is your wake and rake pick then?
Well, my wake and rake pick is the Miami Heat. I don't understand the line. The Sixers played last night, and in case you guys didn't notice watching that Sixers game, not only did the Raptors play them extremely tough, Sixers have no guys. They're a four-player team, four-and-a-half-player team. I don't trust Tobias Harris. Like, what is Tobias
Harris?
Tobias
Harris is not a serious basketball player.
That's what I mean.
Like, I don't know what's going on there.
Tobias Harris, what are you doing out there? I actually love Thibault, like, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league, but I don't trust him to hit a shot. He's wide open in the corner on every possession for a reason, because he's a clang machine who can't hit an open three to save his life. Love the kid, can't hit a shot to save his life. Do you know how many Sixers games I've watched where Niang is deciding the fate of this team? That's not good. You shouldn't have George Niang deciding whether or not you win or lose basketball games. The Heat are deep. The Heat are tough. I just look at them coming into this game. If Jimmy Butler plays, Blake, I know he's questionable. But if Jimmy Butler plays, he's going to want to make a statement. Embiid played heavy minutes and was taxed last night in terms of what he needed to do against the Raptors. I just don't think that the Sixers have the depth or the ability to beat a team like Miami in this situation if the Heat come in engaged. So for this short of a line, for this kind of a price, I'm going to bet the Miami Heat and say that they take this one and that they do it in convincing fashion.
Are you going money line or minus one and a half?
Money line. Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where it doesn't really change the price.
It's close enough.
So just give me the win. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the Raptors are 4.5-point dogs at the Bulls tonight. Raptors
like
obviously on a back-to-back, but they'll have Fred VanVleet back in the mix today playing back in Illinois. Yeah. Patrick Williams potentially back for the Bulls, which is really cool and a lot of fun for, you know, the Bulls are a team we've enjoyed most of the year. Good for them. You're also 1-9 against the spread in your last 10. I don't know that Patrick Williams fixes all that. So
I thought you meant me, and I almost just threw a conniption fit, and I was like, that is not true. That was
what, 1-9?
Yeah. Where I was like, I thought you were saying me, but you're talking about the Bulls. So I was like, I just froze. I just froze because I went, no, I'm 1-9 in college basketball picks that I didn't post on the show. In fact, I would gladly take 1-9 from Greystone where I've been at. I think I've lost 10 bets in a row in college. I'm not even kidding. I think that's where I'm at right now. It's an incredible streak.
Yeah, that's tough. Johnny Davis not coming through for us. My pick for the Wake and Rake is going to be the Minnesota Wild straight up. They project favorably in this one anyway. They're at home. Vegas is pretty banged up. Yes, there's the trade question marks of pieces could be moving on either side. But that's a minus 160 line that looks more like a minus 180, minus 190 kind of situation. Given what we know right now on the injury front for Vegas. So I'll take the Wild at home to pair with the Bruins in regulation and the Miami Heat on the money line. That's your Wake and Rake for March 21st. Let me ask you guys this, that we'll do one of our self-created props right now. Minus 110, Toronto Maple Leafs make another trade by the deadline.
Oh,
I would bet yes.
I'm going to bet no.
I think that I'm going to say that they make one more depth addition today somewhere.
Okay, does it count if it's like you're getting some player that's not going to play on the roster, like some AHL level guy?
He has to be on the – let's say they have to be on the NHL roster, not the AHL.
I'm going to say no.
This is tricky because I go
– the depth goalie thing.
Well, not just the depth goalie thing. I just – there's two things at play here. If I'm the Leafs, I want to add depth pieces that can jump in. You just lost Travis Dermott. I know you brought in Giordano, so it's kind of a wash. But I still want them to add another guy who can step in and play in case of emergency.
I would like that, too.
Yeah, and I think that they would like to add another forward today. That, okay, like if we're doing the swap in, swap out, they technically didn't add another forward if Kosh is out for the rest of the year, right? So I think they got to go out and get one more forward. If you don't like the way that that fourth line has been playing, or you think that they could use another body there, I would still believe that the Leafs are looking for a type of player like that. And if we're just looking at the cookie crumbs, I still like the idea of them not sacrificing a first-round pick, sacrificing down, I don't want to say down ballot, but yeah, down the line assets to try and get a forward. So I'm still on, yes, there will be a forward that plays for the Leafs and on their regular season roster. I don't know if he'll make it to the playoffs, but we'll see on Kasha. That's my cat.
All right.
What about you, Blake?
Well, let's take. Well, I'm the house. I set the line. So
come on, no, give us something.
I would say yes.
You'd say
well, it's just it's hard because I set the line. So then if I bet side of it, it's like, well, Blake, that side. You should move.
I love
the line,
how Blake
then.
Looks at it like the people would hold him like to be accountable for him setting the line. Like if
how
there is a trade, they would
Blake
Murphy set the line and he bet it. That's not fair. He should be suspended for a year like Calvin Ridley for his violation.
Why isn't Blake paying an integrity fee to JD and Haelish? Let's ask some people who we're not going to make them bet on it, but we got Justin Bourne and Kevin Bieksa in the final hour here to help us one last hour teeing up the Leafs trade deadline before we kick it over to a whole bunch of radio and TV content outlining the trade deadline. Justin Bourne next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.